It's our first Wednesday night on Bereshit, on our Torah teachings. I know you know we're off to a good start. You can see this is going to be a good year in our Torah teaching. We have learned so much last year, and then we get to take everything we learned and bring it into this year's teaching and just add it to it. So it's not more weight to us. It's just more information, more knowledge, more to be more aware of what's going on in our surroundings. And our topic was Bereshit, our first Torah point, meant in the beginning. And I know we're stressing this year, well, so far to start, is to get through, read all the text. So I'm going to finish reading the text, and then I'm going to share with y'all what I've got out of it, what was shared with me. So in Genesis chapter 5, in Bereshit, we're gonna start. And this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, he made him in the likeness of Elohim. He didn't just throw stuff together and just make stuff. He made him in his likeness and his image, the scripture tells us. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them and called the name Adam in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and brought forth a son in his own likeness. Now you see a little shift here, because this is after Adam have sinned. He's bringing his son in his own likeness. But hey, Adam was created in the likeness of Elohim. So it's not that he's created different, but you see a little shift in the wordplay there. After his image, and called his name Seth. And after he brought forth Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and brought forth Enoch. And after he brought forth Enoch, Seth lived 807 years, and brought forth sons and daughters. So you can see that living a long time, they're still pretty fruitful and multiplying. So all the days Seth lived were 912 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 90 years and brought forth Cain. And after he brought forth Cain, Enoch lived 815 years, and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died. And Cain lived 70 years, and brought forth Mahalalel. After he brought forth Mahalalel, Cain lived 840 years, and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days of Cain were 910 years, and he died. Some of these words are tricky, well, I tell you. But we're doing the best we can, I promise you. All right, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and brought forth Jared. Now all these names that we're reading, passages brought to my attention, and I didn't go over and check everybody's name, because they all have meanings to some. It's very important, and maybe in a minute I'll share with you when you put them all together what it means. So I took a kind of a different approach, because there's something else that caught my attention when reading. So it's hard to really catch everything, but anyway, we're doing our best. So Mahalalel, verse 17. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and brought forth Henoch. And after he brought forth Henoch, Jared lived 800 years and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Henoch lived 65 years and brought forth Methuselah. And after he brought forth Methuselah, Henoch walked with Elohim 300 years and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days of Henoch were 365 years. And Henoch walked with Elohim, and he was no more, for Elohim took him. That's
great.
When Elohim, when you please him, and you're doing such a good job that he just takes you, and especially in today's time, that would be wonderful. So, and Methuselah lived 187 years and brought forth Lamech. And you hear people teaching that, well, where did he take him? And the scripture says he took him. And the secret things belong to Elohim. If he wanted us to know, I'm sure he would have told us. So, but there are some extra writings that you can look at. And, you know, according to the book of Enoch, he'll tell you where he's at, or what he was doing, why God took him. But that's a whole nother story, subject. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and brought forth a son and called his name Noah. Noah. We're going to see it in the Hebrew. Had that... sound like you're clearing your throat. It had that guttural sound. That's what it is. It's Noah in the Hebrew. Saying, this one does comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Jehovah had cursed. And there was a reason for that. Because of disobedience, because of sin, the ground was cursed. And after he brought forth Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and brought forth sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah brought forth Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. And it came to be when men began to increase on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them. I tell you what, living 700, 800, 900 years, you can imagine if you threw a family get together, what we would have? You talking about 500 years old and still making babies? I like the sound of that. Daughters were born to them, and the sons of Elohim saw them. Daughters of men, and they were good. And they took wives for themselves, of all whom they chose. And Elohim said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever in his going astray. What was man doing? Going astray. He is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of name. And Jehovah saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thought of this, his heart was only evil continually. Think about that. Only evil continually. I mean, we're going to get, but Noah, only his lineage, his generation was righteous. But had not he obeyed, I told someone yesterday, he would have been wiped out too. He had to trust Elohim, what Elohim said. But man's heart, you see wickedness here, continually. And Jehovah was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And Yahweh said, I am going to wipe off man whom I have created from the face of the ground, both man and beast, creeping creature and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. This is Yahweh speaking. And he's sorry that he made it because their wickedness has come up to his nostrils and his eyes before him. Because everything we read about in chapter 1, it was good. It was good. It was very good. And he's making a statement. He's sorry that he made him. But Noah found favor in the eyes of Jehovah. I'm so thankful for that verse of scripture right there. Because man was in trouble. We needed a Savior. So, that's the end of our reading. It stops there until Friday night for next Torah teaching. But I want to go back because Friday, and I knew instantly, I was telling the pastor, yeah, because he asked a question. He said yesterday, he said, which one of y'all got the teaching? I said, oh, Pastor, I already know I got it. Because it's just something that you said on Friday night. It triggered something within me. And then I wrestled with it because I knew I had to go put it on paper to look at. And Jehovah is trying to direct me to know what to do, at least to look at. We're going to get to the slide, but there's some stuff we got to cover first. Because we got to deal with the wickedness of man. Why Yehovah made this statement, I want to wipe him off the face of the earth. My question is why? Because everything he made was good. But because of the corruption, because of sin, and what has happened, the fallen angels that we read about in Scripture, you can go back and find and read about. He talks about them, how they come and they had relations with the women and the plants and the birds. Everything was corrupted. They taught them how to do evilness and wicked continually. And you tell me, out of the whole face of the world, only 8 souls were saved out of all that? That's mercy. And that's sometimes I just wonder. He said to Abraham tried to plead with him. He went from 50 down to 10. Would you just spare the city? Mm-hmm. He said, I'm going to spare him if I can find 10. Mm-hmm. Here we see just 8. So it's telling us something that we got to go look at. So Pastor made a comment. He said that Yehovah started out in darkness. And that I thought that's what really hit me, because he's taking us from darkness to light. And there was a time in our lives, I don't know about you, but my life, I was in darkness. Amen. And maybe you can probably think of a time in your life where you could have been in darkness. Amen. And he calls out of darkness into light. He showed mercy. And to some, he didn't show mercy. We know of people today that are not here with us because sometimes the darkness overwhelms them, overtakes them. And it's true, because I'm going to show you it in the scripture. We're going to go to it. So in Bereshit, so let's just go back and do a little recap. In verse 1, chapter 1 and 2, it said, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And the earth came to be formless and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim was moving on the face of the water. So already we see the darkness. That's already here. That he needs to bring light to the world already from the beginning. And in verse 18, he said, and we know the part of the creation. I don't want to move too fast, but we know that darkness was here. And he created the light. And he says, to rule over the day and to rule the night. He's talking about the sun, the moon, and star, and to separate the light from the darkness. How do you know we have to separate ourselves from the darkness because of the light that's within us. Nice to see y'all, brothers. So what we got to do now, I went back and I had to go recap on some scriptures to show you about the darkness and how it can overwhelm you if you don't stay connected or walk in the light like he commands us to do. So, let's go to Shemot, Exodus. Take your pen and paper out, because there's going to be a few scriptures to read. That's why I don't have the slides up yet, because I got to use my tablet to get to them all. In Exodus chapter 10, in verse 21. And Yehovah said to Moshe, and we know we've heard some of these scriptures, you know, you want to recap on, but I gotta lay the foundation to build on his foundation to show you where I'm going with it. And Yehovah said to Moshe, stretch out your hands toward the heavens, and let there be darkness over the land of Mizraim, even a darkness which is felt. That's pretty dark. And in today's time, there's so much darkness out there, you can feel it. You can see it. My past two trips to Cocodree, two or three trips I went up there, I get up here by a certain house. When I'm passing the road, when you pass on the road, the thing that lights up, this scary looking deal. I don't even want, I pass that four or five times, I don't even look at it. Because it comes on when you're passing by. That's darkness. Darkness comes, when we think darkness in our mind, it's not just the dark outside. I know that's what it says here, but I'm going to show you in Scripture, I'm going to give you the Hebrew words for it, that darkness is just more than that. It's more than just being dark, walk outside and putting the light on. Darkness is real, a darkness that can be felt. And Moses stretched out his hand toward the heavens, and there was thick darkness in all land of Mishraim for 3 days, and they did not see one another. Nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, while all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. Babe, give me a napkin. That's pretty dark. And I just wanted to, this is just the start of the darkness. Let me tell you what darkness is. This darkness right here. And it's gonna go to, because I got the definitions of it. I'm gonna give you the Hebrew. This darkness that we're talking about is Hosek, H-O-S-E-K, Hebrew H-28-22. And it has also the root word Hasek, H-A-S-A-K, 28-21, Hebrew 8-2. So let me read with you the first one. I just took Hosek, H-O-S. It's to be dark, as withholding light, transitive, T-R-A-N-S-S-I-T-I-V-E-L-Y, transitive, to darken, be black, be dark, darken, cause darkness, be dim, hide. In the, is to be or become dark, grow dim, be darkened, be black, be hidden. To be or grow dark, to have a dark color, to grow dim, to make dark, cause to be dark, to hide, conceal, to obscure, confuse. When you're in the dark, I told my passengers today on the boat, coming through that number one spillway, when it's dark and foggy in here, you don't even want to pass in here. You want to go up the river. It might be the longer way around, but it's the safer way. I said, and to try to pass through here and fight the wells, and because when you're on the radar, you can only zoom in so close, and you can barely see the bayou. So let me tell you, you get confused, and it's real. The next one is Hasak. The dark, hence literally darkness, figuratively misery. Huh. Destruction. Wow, you say, did you get out of darkness? Yeah. Death. Ignorance. Sorrow. Wickedness. I'm not making this up. Y'all can go look for yourself. Dark night, obscurity. Dark, obscurity, darkness, secret place. Wonder what Yah's trying to tell us. So, you can look these couple of Hebrew words up, and then we're going to tie them all in, because when you're going to get to them, we're going to see these secret places and all he's talking about is misery and darkness. Because we don't just think night. It's much deeper than that. In the world we live in today, especially if we're in the time that we just read about, there was evil continuing in the face of that way. Yah wants to wipe out his creation. That is sad. Let's look at Isaiah. I think this one might even be in our slides. If I think I've read this one. Chapter 9. And let's look at verse 1 and 2. But there is no groom upon her who is in distress. As when at first he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people who were walking in darkness, what? Were they walking in darkness? And you know, there's some people that are still today, still walking in darkness, refuse to come to the light. We're going to get to that. Have seen a great light upon those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, as light has shone. You see, you can see these key words, shadow of death and darkness and misery. This all has to do with darkness. And what Yahweh wants, he wants to take us out of that. And keep you out of that. Still today, when I pass over that spot by the road, I don't even want to look at it because it's darkness. I know it might seem funny, but to me, it's darkness. Now we got to go to our favorite book. Let's go to Matthew. Because this was the scripture that stuck to me when Pastor mentioned Friday night. In Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 12. And Yeshua, having heard that Yochanan had been put into prison, withdrew to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fill what was spoken by Yeshayahu the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nation, the people who sat in darkness. He said, well, this is where he's at. But he's fulfilling the prophecy that people want it. We don't need that. Where is he getting it from? Saw a great light. I don't know about you, but I saw a great light. And I needed that light. And I was sitting in the darkness just like these people were. And upon those who sat in the land, the shadow of death arose to them. What? Light arose to them in the shadow of death. I was there. I was in the shadow of death. Outside of Yeshua, outside of Jehovah, my friend, you are in the shadow of death. It takes him. And there's your little reference, Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. What's he making reference to? What has been written? Everything we've been speaking here is what has been written. We haven't been speaking our own words. I mean, I know we get the slides, but everything is his words. We're not making stuff up. We might look crazy, sound crazy. It's just what it is. But look, I thought about it today. If you only had a week left to live, if a doctor told you only got a week left, are you going to, you know, just come home and say, oh, woe is me? Especially if you're following Yeshua, you said you're walking in his footsteps, would you go home and mow? Well, I want to tell everybody. But when you're walking in darkness, you're going to live it up and party like it's your last day. What did Yeshua say? From that time, Yeshua began to proclaim and to say, repent, for the reign of heaven has drawn near. That's what we need to proclaim. And tell people, you know, because this look, if we don't shed the light, if we can't be the light, then what good are we? You said you like salt. You're no good for nothing without the taste. You just throw you in the streets. All right. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you in three little sections. But that was the past we just read. We read the about Moshe and about Yeshayahu and not us. Matthew account. This is past. Now we're going to get to present. I'm going to show you three different spots where darkness has always been here. Before, now, and it's still to come. So we're going to stay, we'll just stay right here in Matthew, because that's, so we're not flipping a whole lot of pages. Let's look at chapter 6. Starting at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. You know, people, I don't want to seem like I'm cherry picking scriptures, but I'm going to show you where darkness is at. It's all around. Because people, they got their treasure is here, what they want to build here on this kingdom. He said, don't do that. Because it's going to corrupt, it's going to fade. He said, lay your treasure up in the heavens, on him where he's at. Not here. Don't try to. I know we all want nice things. He wants nice things for us. But don't let that become our idol. Or it become your idol. The lamp of the body is the eye. Not the ear. Not the nose. The mouth. It says the eye. Because the eye see, the eye wants. You get a lot of eye. If therefore your eye is good, all your body shall be enlightened. But if your eye is evil, see how darkness is? It's more than just being dark outside. All your body shall be darkened. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how can you have light in you and you're in the darkness? That to me don't make sense. See, when we read stuff slowly, we catch little nuggets like this. If the light in you is darkness. Let me read that again. But if your eye is evil, all your body shall be darkened. If then the light that is within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? That's an issue right there. Well, I'm following Jesus. Okay. You can be. Your mouth can say a lot of things. I noticed that. But where's your heart, the treasure at? Your heart, where's it laid up at? You're walking in darkness. It's not gonna co-equal. It's not gonna be together. Because even your body, what does darkness have to do with light? But he created darkness. You understand? He created darkness. But you can tell he wants you to be in the light. Do not eat from that tree. That's mine. Because what happened? When they took from it, darkness came. They were clothed in light. Didn't even know they were naked. We just learned it. But now the darkness is here. And from then it never stopped. It builds and builds. And then when darkness gets so bad, when it consumes you, you know what you do? You kill your brother. The good eye means to be generous. While an evil eye means to be stingy. Just some of these little definition words. Now you can see where these Hebrew root words, they come into play. These little nugget words come into play. Because it's more than just being dark outside. Let's look at John, Yohanan. Let's see what he has to say. Oh, this one we're going to know very well, I promise you. 3. This is the old famous one that everybody knows, verse 16. For Elohim so loved the world, and that he gave his only brought forth son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. What does darkness do to you? You'll perish if you walk in it. For Elohim did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but the world through him might be saved. He loves us. He loves you. He who believes in him is not judged. But he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth son of Elohim. Who we've been learning about? Yeshua and Elohim. And this is judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light. That's an issue. For their works were evil. I know. My works were evil. I had that evil eye. We had to get rid of that. Because why? Because we're going to be judged. And we're going to get to the future where it talks about that. But men love the darkness rather than light. So what happened in the beginning? Yahweh said he's so angry he wants to get rid of his creation. For everyone who's practicing evil matters hates the light. Wow. When you hate the light, you hate Yehovah. You hate Yeshua, because they are the light. Because when you read about them in Revelation, you know what the scripture says? There's no need for the sun. There's no need for the moon to give light. They are the light. So if you're practicing evil and you hate the light, that's not good. For everyone who is practicing evil matters hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. That's what the light does to us. It goes in them secret places. Like I just read in the Hebrew. In them hiding places that where the skeletons are at. And the cobwebs. That he wants to clean out. Like he wants to clean out all that filth that's fixing to come around just next week. That's darkness. But the one doing the truth, I ain't going to leave y'all hanging. Mm-hmm. The one doing the truth comes to the light. Mm-hmm. Boy, I tell you, oh, I need that scripture. So that his works are clearly seen. We ain't trying to hide. We are still here. Mm-hmm. After all what happened, we're still here. We're in a brand new teaching. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to be here. And we're still going to proclaim the light. Because we're walking in the light. But the one doing the truth comes to the light so that his works are clearly seen. And they have been wrought in Elohim. Amen. He gives his approval. Look, if I can't walk in the light, ain't no way I can be here. I have to first learn to walk in the light. And learn to be the light. Amen? All right. Let's go to chapter 11. And just stay in John. Let's just go to chapter 11. And remember, we're in the present right now. This is present time. That we need this word today. Let's look at verse 9. Yeshua answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Don't think dark. Think of what's in here. You'll stumble. That's why we have to be children of the light. Act. If you're going to walk in the light, proclaim the light. Be the light. Someone is out there looking at you. You need to be the light, because this world is darkened. And what did Yehovah say? He wanted to get rid of them. That's why he did. But Noah found favor, found grace. We have been graced. Let's go to chapter 12. Okay. And let's look at a couple more verses of scriptures in there. Look, when you sit down and the table, boy, and you start reading this stuff, and you, let me tell you, you lose track of time. And I tell you, it blesses me. And I know as y'all speak, because man, I tell you, I can't sleep. I wake up early in the morning, and it's just, this is stuff you get refreshed with. You have to go put down. So, look at verse 34. I think this. Yes. And the crowd answered him, "We have heard out of the Torah." What? Out of the where? The Torah. What are we learning from? Where's that? Where are we getting out? Who's our schoolmaster? What's that? We learning these things. And Yeshua comes. He don't do away with it because he's telling us right here. Out of the Torah. That Messiah remains forever. And how do you say the son of Adam has to be lifted up? Who is the son of Adam? Yeshua therefore said to them, "Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you." We have to be careful, because it can overtake you. This darkness is for real. It's just no joke. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. The scripture plainly tells you where you're going. You might not know, but the scripture knows where you're going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you become sons of light. These words Yeshua spoke and went off and hid and was hidden from them. Why? They out to kill him. They plotting against him. They out to take the light out. Why? Darkness. And you know what? It's still today. That darkness is, man, I tell you, it's because their deeds were evil because they hate the light. And what did Yeshua say? They hated me before they hate you. They hated me. So these words come into play. You can see hatred. Hatred is darkness. All right. Let's look at First John. This is some good stuff. I was going over that this morning and came home this afternoon and had to read this again. Let's start right in verse 1. Let's see what the scripture says. What was from the beginning? Where are we starting at? In the beginning, Bereshit. What do you mean? What was from the beginning? And where we're at? And we're in 1 John, all the way in the back of the book. But we're still talking about the beginning. What we have heard, we've been hearing this. This ain't nothing new. What we have seen with our eyes, we've seen some stuff. What we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Hallelujah. What do we do here? We handle the word of life. This is your life. Even Peter asked him, he said, Peter, where are you going to go? Peter, well, where do you want me to go? You have the word of eternal life. And we have that word with us today. We have his word. But we have to walk in it. If you ain't walking the light, you're walking in. There you go. You got it, Pop. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness. Y'all have seen and bear witness to that light. Look it back in your lives, what he's done for y'all. You've seen and bear witness to that light. And announce to you that everlasting life, which was from the Father, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. Everlasting life. Hallelujah. This is the goal. This is the promise. This is what we're working so hard for. This is what we wake up sometime during the night when scripture comes to you. This is what when you're out on your boat, this is what's come to you, the word. Because you need to be that light. Wherever you are, wherever you go, be that light. We announce to you that we have seen and heard so that you too might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Yeshua Messiah. What a day that's going to be. When the Father and the Son together. That's going to be the eighth day. He talked about light. That's going to be a lot of light there. And we write this to you in order that your joy might be complete. And this is the message we have heard from him. And announced to you that Elohim is light. And in him is no darkness at all. But he created darkness. You ever think about that? But in him is no darkness. In Adam was no darkness, created in the image of Elohim. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Period. Should have been a period right there. And we are not doing the truth. But I'm following Jesus, but you're walking in darkness. That don't mix. He said, what he said? He said, you call me teacher. You call me rabbi. But you don't obey my commands. I wonder what he thought about that. But we're following him. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We needed that. We needed that blood. You can't get out of it. Because without the shedding of his blood, you can't get the darkness out of you. We need his blood. And now we need set apart spirit more than ever. If we say that we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, you lie. If we confess our sins, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us the sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you lie because you can't make him a liar. I'm sorry. So, the word is shaped for us to change because he's not changing. He's not going to change for me. Not going to change for you. He ain't going to change for grandma and grandpa. His word is what his word. We have to follow his word. It's not to be compromised. He said, go ahead. He'll let you go. He'll step back and say, go ahead. You figure it out. But what happened to man? Their thoughts. And it only evil continually. Man, that was just in present time. Trust me, that's more scripture that you can dig into. But you can see how great is this darkness that's all around us. Where we live in our little town. Just the other day, they thought they had a shooting up the road. That's darkness. That's not light. Even if it was a mistake. But it's all around. So now let's look in the future. Let's see what the scripture here. Oh, one more. I think I almost forgot this one. Luke. I don't know how I missed that one. I went straight to John. I missed Luke right there. We got to read that. Let's go to Luke 11, and then we'll. And no one who has lit a lamp puts it in a hidden place. See that hidden place? If you're in darkness, you don't want that lamp. Or on that basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in shall see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, all your body is enlightened. But when your eye is evil, your body also is darkened. Darkness. I didn't want to leave that one out. The good eye means to be generous, while the evil eye means to be stingy. And in time past, we've had that stingy eye. I know I did. I got to watch so the darkness don't overtake you. So look, just the other day, yesterday, sometimes it just, other people, because you think about common courtesy. I've been hearing a little story about common courtesy. So yesterday we was fishing, and we up against the rock and it's blowing, and here comes this other fellow fisherman, and he's kind of cracked back half speed, and boy, he just come down the path, boy. You did this in the boat. I told him, God, I said, if that was a time in my life, I would have taught him a little common courtesy. But that's what darkness wants to rise up. That's what the flesh wants to do. You know, instantly, it comes on you. And what do you want? You want to pay them back. What would I would have looked like to my customers? So we just have to be careful at times. Because it can overtake you. What did he tell Cain? He warned him. If you don't deal with it, it will overtake you. But you can master it. He told him that you can overcome this darkness. If not, it's waiting for you by the door. Maybe I'm just talking to me tonight. None of this happens to y'all. You know, that darkness sometimes don't want to rise up, and it does sometimes with me. Because boy, when people like this, it's not that it was a big thing, but it's just that little thing right there. It's just a little, just that little bit. And just it can explode. But I thought about common courtesy. So I said, let's just keep on fishing. Oh boy, this is good stuff. I don't know about y'all, but it blessed me. All right, let's look in the future, what's going to happen. In Matthew 22, let's go back to Matthew. In verse 11, I think we're going to start in verse 11. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 10. And those servants went out into the street corners and gathered all whom they found, both wicked and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And when the sovereign came in to view the guests, I wonder who the sovereign is right here. Who are we talking about when we come in to view the guests? And he saw there a man who had not put on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend. Wow, he even called him friend. How did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Look, I've been before judges, you're speechless. Well, you choose your words very carefully how you say it. Then the sovereign said to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and throw him out into outer darkness. Now we're talking about a different level here of darkness. One that who created darkness? Jehovah. Now you're cast into outer darkness. And when you get cast into this outer darkness, there's no returning. And it's so bad here on earth, there's a lot of outer darkness here for some people, that it looks like there's no returning. It takes him to bring you out of that. You drift so far away, you pull that anchor up, and you start drifting. It's hard to reset that anchor back again. Amen. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in that day. Future. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let's look at, I should have went back first. Let's look at chapter 8 in Matthew 8. Let's look at verse 11. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the reins of the heaven. But the sons of the reins of the rain shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's going to be a sad day for some. That's real darkness right there. Away from the Father. The one who created you, away from his son, the one who gave his life for you, you cast into outer darkness, never to return. Let's go to chapter 25. verse 20. Verse 28. Chapter 25, verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him. Takes away your talent. And why? Because you were someone who just didn't handle his word correctly. Took his talent that he gave you to do nothing with. This is what it's talking about. And give it to him who possesses 10 talents. For to everyone who possesses, more shall be given, and he shall have overflowing. But from him who does not possess, even what he possesses shall be taken away. And throw the worthless servant into outer darkness. I'm not making all these up. He's telling what would have happened. We don't use our talents rightly. For him, we're just wasting his time. What do you expect your payment to be? What do I expect my payment to be? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You think people are going to be trying to want to beg for forgiveness, beg for extra time, try to buy their way in? What is he going to say? You worthless servant. You had time. You had all these things to do, and you wasted my time. I don't want to waste this time. In Revelations, verses 11. This is what's to come. And I saw a great white throne, and him who was sitting on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. He created this. And no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from that which was written in the books according to their works. I mean, you know, we got to have good works. We don't get free pass because you think you look good. All because I think I look good. I don't get a free pass. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Sheol gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. And death and Sheol were thrown to the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, that outer darkness, never to return. And these were just a few scriptures that hit me as Pastor was speaking this Friday night about how the darkness, how he took us out of that, out of darkness into light, and that we should walk in the light and proclaim the light. Because if not, what we're doing, we're wasting his time. You're not wasting my time, I can promise you. I'm going to be here. When the door is open, when it comes for Shabbat, I'll be here. When it comes for feast days, I'm going to be here. We should be here. So, far as the darkness to light, there was just a few things I wanted to show you that's been this. That's something that just started here. Started since the beginning. Darkness started, and then he's here in our time and here to come. And now we're going to get to the slide because that's all I had for is the darkness to light. Stuff I wanted to share with y'all. So I guess from here on, we have to go to the slides. But I'm going to show you, even in the slides, it's going to start talking about it. I don't know which one I'm on. Huh? Oh, it's up there? Okay. All right. I'll tell you what, I think I got to go to the slides first then. All right. Are we good? Yeah. This is slide 46. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Hebrew word that's translated darkness is hoset. I didn't even know this till I opened the slides. So I just want to go to show you how, when I was putting this on paper, I didn't just think of this. And then I opened the slides and I started reading. I get down to this. And I'm like, hey, there you go. We must be on the right track. Let's keep on going. Which means darkness, obscurity, and symbolically it can represent an ignorance or lack of knowledge and order. I can assure you, you come to Faith Temple, you're going to learn knowledge. We're going to give you enough information. When you sleep, it's going to be in your eyes. When you open up, it's going to be in your eyes. When you're drinking coffee, it's going to be in your coffee cup. You're going to get information here. You know. What do you say? Without knowledge, the people perish. We don't want you to perish because Elohim loves you. He just said it. He don't want no one to perish. This is why we're doing what we're doing. And if he don't want nobody to perish, you know what? I don't want anyone to perish because I like what he likes and I hate what he hates. Period. When someone is in the dark on a matter, it carries the understanding that they have no knowledge or insight regarding the matter, and so it too understood as such in Hebrew as darkness speaks of that which has no presence of knowledge or that it simply lacks the existence of the right and perfect rule of Elohim. Had a guy today, he said, boy, the sun's coming up. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, it has a job to do. It knows when to rise. Because why? He created it. It's for a purpose. It has to rise. It has no choice. It knows it's rising. It knows it's setting. And the scripture says it hastens to get back where it started from. I said, so when we were going out, I said, we know where the east is at. I told him this yesterday. Today he says, I know where the east is at. I said, you got it. Elohim made the heavens and the earth, and this view, at this viewpoint, there was no, Elohim made the heavens and the earth, and at this very point, there was no order or rule, as there was just a formless waste above which his spirit moved. Now we learned about that. Learned about the material coming, and then dropping it off, and you say, that's my house. Well, until we get AJ and Mark to come here to help build it, it's our house. But look, we got laborers to help us. That one's free, fellas. And Elohim said, let light come to be, and light came to be. Genesis 1:3. A continual theme that we find all throughout Scripture and see very clearly here in this creation account is that of the separating of light from darkness. Well, that's what we just read about. This was my whole point of the matter, how we have to separate light from the, we have to stay separated from, because Yehovah did it. He separated you. He called you out of darkness. Because what happened? What he said? The people who sat in darkness, they saw a marvelous light. Light in Hebrew comes from the root word or, Strong's H216, which we know in Scripture, in being the opposite to darkness, carries with it the clear significance that it has for us in speaking of knowledge and insight and understanding. Well, how we need all this. Do we need the Bible? It is so full of wisdom and understanding. You can never get enough. Just when you think you had enough, you still get hungry again. Somebody told me today, when you go ahead and you start eating, and you eat one day, you go back the next day and you eat again. So we need this. We need the slides. We need the word, because it, what? It helps us. He's, what did the scripture say? His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Without it, you know where you walk? In darkness. Without the lamp to teach us, to guide us, you stumble. The scripture says you stumble without the walking in darkness. I didn't say it. I just read it. What he said. In fact, here in this verse, when Elohim said, "Let light come to be," I firmly believe that he was, in essence, saying that his word brings order to this chaos, and that wisdom and understanding was to be established by his word. We are clearly told in Tehillah, in Psalms 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So we need that. We need his word every day. When you wake up, when you lie down, throughout the day. Yeah, I know we have other stuff going on, other activities, and hey, we can't not go to his word. We need it. I'm to the point now, I really don't know how you can go a day without it. No, if you spend 10 minutes in it, you're spending time, you're doing something. But when you do nothing, and you just take his talent, and you put it in the earth, what he says, you wicked, you lazy slave. And Tehillah Psalms 119, 130, "The opening up of your word gives light, giving understanding to the simple." All we are down here is a simple people, but we take the word that's precious to us, and we need it. And then when you get it, and when you've eaten on it and you chewed on it, you might want to regurgitate and chew on it some more. That's what that, what he said, the animal that chews the cud. There you go. Be like one that chews the cud, except just chew on his word. It tastes good. We need it. Yohanan, John 8:12. "Therefore Yeshua spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world." If he's the light of the world, and what we just read a little while ago, you don't love the light. You don't like the light. You hate the light. That's some strong words. "He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of life." Oh, that's powerful. There's no way you can say you follow him and you're walking with him. You can't be walking in darkness. I promise you, he's not doing something wrong. We got to go back and look back at our footsteps, because we misstepped somewhere. Y'all remember our little illustration? Pastor Walker, I took a step here, take a step. If you're not doing that, following him in that direction, you misstepped somewhere. And the sad part about it, when you misstep, what do? We do like, "The woman, Lord, is the woman you gave me." Is that what we do? In Genesis 1:4, "And Elohim saw the light, that it was good." It was tov. It was good. "And he separated." And Elohim separated the light from the darkness. See, he done it. It's up to us to maintain it. What did he tell Adam? He said, you till it, you take care of it. The garden is yours. Tend to it. Guard it. Tend to it. What did he tell us? Guard his word. Tend to it. Keep it separated from darkness. Keep yourself separated from darkness. Right here, in the beginning of creation, we see the power and effect of the word of Elohim. It separated the light from the darkness. That's why I couldn't, when he was mentioning that, that really stuck to me. Because, man, when you go out, especially in the time that we're here, everybody's getting ready for this pagan holiday coming up. Had a friend told me the other day, family member, "Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with giving out candy." I said, "You're right. It ain't. I give somebody every Shabbat." I said, but why do you want to give it out this day? I said, but if you'd only see the tie-in where the candy leads you to, you'd probably think twice about it. But you don't want to know truth because you love darkness rather than light. And you know when you sometimes when you share that, you're not the favorite cousin no more. And when we understand that darkness is a picture of folly and that light is a picture of wisdom, then we see that it word shows us clear difference by separating all that is folly from that which is of wisdom. What's he call it? Folly. No wonder why you stumble. In Koheth, Ecclesiastes 2:13, then I saw that the wisdom is better than folly, and light is better than darkness. I tell all my customers and people that are in the boat business when I'm working for Bayou Marine, I say, you know what the best light is? Daylight. I love daylight. Ain't that right, Pop? We go out fishing, Pop said, we're going at 6:30 because I need to see where I'm going. I said, I'm right there with you. I got no problem leaving at 6:30 in the morning. Good boy. We love the light. We love riding the light, walking in the light, upholding the light. And not just out there, but in here also. This is where it counts, where you're going to lay your treasure at. Because why? The eye sees. Here are a couple of other key verses that speak of this creation account and how his word brings order and form and the clear truth that nothing is founded or established without his word. Without him, I don't exist. I need him. He don't need me. I need him. I need his word. Outside of him, we was asked a question just the other day. Does anything exist outside of him? Nothing. He spoke into existence. That the creator spoke into it, and there was life. Without that, there was no life. So outside of him, we're fooling ourselves. In Michelle, Proverbs 3:19, Yehovah founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. Don't you think? Where did he do that? In the beginning. This is why we're starting off in Bereshit. And we need this wisdom. We need this understanding. He didn't just throw us out there and here learn for yourself. He loves us. So he put people in our lives to teach us, to help us along the way. And I so appreciate that. Because we need it. Wherever I go. And Yohanan, John 15, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with Elohim. And the Word was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Elohim. All came to be through him. And without him, not even one came to be that came to be. So outside of him, what he's telling you right there, there's nothing. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When you walk in his light, as long as Adam was obedient and walking in the light, man, eat whatever tree you want, Adam. It's all yours. Name all the animals, name the birds. How beautiful the Garden of Eden must have been. Sometimes you try to think about it. You know, I know we hear it and we talk about it, but I don't think we can even really think about how beautiful it was. We can only just try to, the little brain I got, can only imagine how beautiful it was. Y'all still with me? Well, y'all looking tired tonight. I see a lot of red eyes in. I can see it from my end. I don't know how y'all look, but I go from here. Boy, I'm telling you. That's why I went to the dollar store and I got me that mocha. That's what you got to do. See me? I can go 2 more hours. All right. Yeshua Messiah is the clear representation and manifestation of the word of Elohim. Hallelujah. In the flesh that came to separate light from darkness. I'm so thankful he came for me. Oh, because how I needed that. To separate. Like I said, you when you go on that road, you go see that house I'm talking about when you're going to see that thing going to light up. You're going to think about these words tonight. You pass that. I promise you ain't going to want to look either. Oh, and call us out of ignorance and folly. Oh my God, I was crazy. In his marvelous light, I was full of folly. I was full of ignorance, hard head, tender. I was one of them. I'm telling you. Boy, I'm so glad he came to rescue me. I know y'all laughing, but y'all were there too. But you know, but this is what the word does. It brings life. It brings light. And then I'm here to die. I can testify today. There was a time I couldn't do that. And yeah, man, I don't know. I'll tell you why. I didn't even get these four on the slides, and these things just, they're on the same page. And John, 1 John, Yochanan Aleph. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that Elohim is light and in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. I firmly believe that right here in Bereshit in Genesis 1, we have the clear evidence that the word was manifest in the form of light right at the beginning of creation. By that I mean that in this creation that Elohim was bringing forth by his word, he made manifest his light and brought forth the very form of how he would interact with his creation. Can you imagine sending his only son here to man, here on earth, and to say what? Repent. Walk in the light. And this is what happened? They murdered him for it, for speaking the truth. In him there is no darkness, and so by the light that was brought forth and was good, we're able to see how the word that is Yeshua Messiah was right here in the beginning, for he is our Messiah, the light of Elohim. In the ancient pictographic script, we're able to see a powerful explanation of this when looking at the Hebrew word for light in its ancient form. The Hebrew word for light, or Strong's H216, in its ancient pictographic form looks like this. The Aleph. The ancient script has this letter as pictured at the head of an ox and represents strength, meaning muscle, as the ox is the strongest of all the livestock animals. This also carries the meaning of yoke, and as an ox is placed in the yoke in order to plow or pull a heavy load in the right direction. This can also picture for us the red heifer sacrifice that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled. The Vav. The ancient script for the letter is pictured as a tent peg, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of having a Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook, and the resh. The ancient script for this letter, the head of a man, this letter had the meanings of head of a man, as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. From this pictographic letter that rendered the term for light, we're able to clearly see who our strength is and in whom we are secure. The beginning of our strength is secured in our head, who is the light. Hallelujah. He is the light. And we need that light. Every day. Not just someday, every day. So, that's where I stopped. That's all I have. Do you want to read that little about the words, the names? We'll save it for next time. Well, thank y'all for coming out. tonight. And I hope this helps, because it blessed me. I needed it, because we live in a world today that is very dark. And we have to be on our P's and Q's. You have to be, look, spend time with him. Be that vow. We don't need no more slipping. We need him. And without him, nothing exists without him. So